Hi, I'm Monty Sharp, and I'd like to welcome you to the Gatekeepers Initiative. What in the world is a gatekeeper, you may ask? I'm so glad you ask. The world's gatekeepers proclaim that they're protecting their community, but in reality, they're elevating themselves by denying others entrance to their community by belittling and devaluing them. God's gatekeepers protect their communities through loving devotion to those around them. They're there to encourage that which is good and reject that which brings harm. So let's take a deeper dive today in how God is calling you to be a gatekeeper. I am really pleased to spend some time with you again. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast and for sharing it with others. It seems to be getting out there around the country, and we really appreciate it. Hope it's blessing you as it blesses us to be able to put it together and share it with you. Today, we're going to be talking about leadership. You know, as gatekeepers, each of us have been called to be leaders. Each of us have areas of influences in our life, whether it be our family, our friends, people we work with. Maybe it might be people you go to school with or you hang out with, whatever it might be, but we have areas of influence, and God has asked us to use those influences to create good, to help people be protected from the bad that is coming their way. As gatekeepers, that's what our job is. So today, we want to talk about how to be a good leader, and leadership is a really important part of all of that. God has called us to be leaders, every one of us, in our families, in our areas, and in our relationships. And we all are. The question is, are we doing a good job at it, or are we doing a bad job at it? So I hope that when we get through with this today, that you'll have some tools to put in your tool belt that will help you feel very comfortable and very confident of being a great leader. And not only that, but you'll also have some tools to be able to help others to become that way too. I have thrown in some quotes from different people that may not know the Lord today. And the reason I did that was to be able to show you whether a person knows the Lord or not, they still value the truth of what God's word says, even though they may not know him yet. It's really crazy to me how that happens. You know, we hear all these great philosophers and great leaders, and they give you these great quotes, and you go, wow. And then you start reading the word of God, and you go, oh, okay, I know where he stole that one from. If you run across those, that was the intention of it, to be able to remind us of that. So let's talk about leadership. Proverbs 12:24 tells us that. The hand of the diligent will rule. The hand of the diligent will rule. That's important to start off with that. You know, you can't just fake your way into leadership. You've got to be diligent. And just like as a gatekeeper, you need to man your gates. You've got to be there to be able to protect the people that come and go out of your gates. We need to do the same thing as a leader. So let's start with the L of leader. And what does it stand for? Love. A leader loves at all times. A leader doesn't love part-time. He loves at all times. A new commandment give I to you, the Lord says, that you love one another even as I have loved you. You also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. John 13:34 and 35. We need to find out what motivates other people. If we're going to be a great leader, and it's often tied to one of a few different love languages. Maybe it's words of affirmation, or acts of service, or receiving gifts, or quality time, or physical touch. All of us feel love and loved in a different way. How do we discover that? Well, the best way is we have not because we ask not, James 4:2, is to ask them, what makes you feel most loved? You know, what makes you feel most appreciated? So we need to spend some time discovering what motivates other people, what makes them feel loved, and how they will react in the proper fashion. And that will pay great dividends for us in the long run. It takes time, but it's worth it. But remember, love requires consistency. You have to love them when you feel like it and when you don't. So let's take a look at the E of leader. It stands for encourage and edifies. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing also. The word encourage means to impart courage. Isn't that interesting? Courage. It's very important if you're going to see great things done. The word edify means to build up. We will never do anything great if we don't think we can. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. But so often others' belief in us significantly increases our own belief in our abilities. Isn't that true? Somebody comes alongside and says, you can do this. You're so good at this. You're so amazing at this. And kind of fills you up and makes you want to go out and charge the enemy. So work hard at building others up by reminding them who they are often and boldly. And they need to hear the truth from us louder and longer than the lies from the world that the world is pushing at them. Do I hear an amen on that? I think all of us could probably appreciate that. So the L is loves at all times. The E is encourages and edifies. And the A is assist those in need. Frequently, as leaders, we want to be able to tell somebody, go get this done, and then just get it frustrated because they don't get it done. And there's so many reasons that they don't. So we need to be aware of that. And if we see them as hesitating or struggling, we need to get involved and assist them in being successful. What are the things that the people around you and your family and your areas of influence, what do they need from you to be successful? Think about that. I think more times than not, when we give people a task, they need to be trained in it. We assume that people know what we know. We assume because sometimes people are really good at putting up a front and acting like they've got it. Yeah, well, I'm going to go for it. But they need some training to be successful at it. And the Lord kind of gave me a really fun word, Timor. And it's a Timor training technique. You may wonder, what in the world is Timor? Timor is spelled T-M-O-R-R. Timor is just simply the first letter of each of the techniques that we're going to be training you through. This technique is so amazingly successful. The only hang up on it is it takes a lot of time to be able to make it function properly. But I'll guarantee you, if you do this on a regular basis with people, once you've got it down with them, they'll be successful forever. It creates incredible competency. So you ready for what that looks like? Okay, so to be able to do the Timor training, the first thing that you need to take a look at is the T of training is to train. That's right. But that's where we stop usually. Even if we think, okay, I've trained you how to do this, I walk away and I go, well, you should be able to do that. But how many of us can hear somebody train us in one time and when somebody walks away to be able to do it with great competency? Most of us can't. So you need to go to the next step, and that after I train you, then I need to model it for you. Or I need to find somebody else that's competent and I'll let them model it for you. So you train and then you model. The O is for opportunity. I need to give them the opportunity to attempt to do it. And with that, there needs to be an expectation that they're probably not going to do it very well because they haven't done it yet. So I train them, I model it for them, and I give them the opportunity to be able to attempt it. Then the first R is review. Go back and review with them how to do it properly. Take that time to retrain and remodel if necessary, and then give them the opportunity to do it again. That's the last R, redo. So you're going to train them, you're going to model it for them, you're going to give them the opportunity to attempt it, then you're going to review their effectiveness, then you're going to redo it again, have them do it again. And if you'll do that, and then incidentally, repeat as necessary. Because sometimes that doesn't even work immediately. But guaranteed, that will create amazing competency in the people that you're working with if you'll give them that kind of training. The Timor training technique. T-M-O-R-R. So our job is to identify those needs, to make sure that they get the assistance, the training, and often the reminders that they need to be successful in their endeavors. The D of leader is denies himself and serves others. Oh, that's always a hard one, isn't it? Isn't that exactly what Jesus modeled for us, though? We see the kenosis doctrine, which is Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Kenosis is emptying, and they call it the kenosis doctrine because in that it tells us that the Lord set aside the exercise of the prerogative of his deity and performed the miracles that he performed while he was here on earth, not in the power of his own deity, but by reliance upon the Holy Spirit. So he came fully as a man, even though he was still God. But the miracles that he did by relying on the Holy Spirit. Now, why did he do that? He did that to give us an example how we're to be living, how we're to be successful, how we're to be great leaders, because it's not about us then. as about the Holy Spirit inside of us. So when Jesus said in John 14:12, truly, truly, he who believes in me, that's all of us that are listening here, shall do the things that I do and even greater things than this. He was saying that because we have the same Holy Spirit. The moment we receive Christ, Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And he gives us the power to do the things that God has called us to. So even the ability to deny ourselves, we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. And that being the case, as a great leader, I need to deny myself and rely upon the Holy Spirit, but I need to pass that on to the people that I'm leading to help them realize that, hey, it's not about you. It's about Jesus in you. He's there to help you. And not only that, but I'm also here to help you. So a great leader denies himself and serves others. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Wow, that's not easy to do, huh? Then it goes on and says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. The highest mountain we climb in our projects that we're dealing with, but especially in life, is getting over ourselves. Incidentally, Jesus said that was a qualification for being able to follow him in Matthew 16. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross. I mean, die to ourselves if we're going to follow him. So when I'm leading, I set the example of how I expect others to interact, and I start with them seeing a servant's heart in me. I need to consider them as more important than myself. You know, there's some that will lead from the front and some that will lead from behind. And then there's some that will lead alongside. And I think for the most part, God is calling us to be front and alongside people, not from the back, pushing and shoving, but rather saying, follow me as I follow Jesus. So here comes the last E of leader, and that is endures. A leader endures. My brothers and sisters, that is an uncommon characteristic in our culture today. If it's not a quick fix, if it's not easy, then we have a tendency to pass on. You know, if it's not popcorn and 2 minutes in my microwave, I don't want any part of it. Do you remember the old days that you had to put oil in the pan, put it on the stove, pour the popcorn in, and then shake it over the fire until it popped? That was a fun thing when I was a really tiny kid. I remember my mom having me do that. Today, if we thought about that, we'd go, never eat popcorn again. But that's exactly where we need to be. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. As a leader, you will often face unique and unrelenting challenges and difficulties. So remember this, winners never quit and quitters never win. If you're to reach your goals, you must condition yourself and those following you to endure at all cost. We need to learn to show up and work at it until we get her done, as a friend of mine would say. Remember, there's only two times we have to do this. One is when you feel like it, and one is when you don't. In fact, I think if we could model that with the people that we are leading, that when you don't feel like it, that's the time that you get up and you get going. Because that is the time that the enemy's working hardest on, because he knows that there's something extraordinary on the other side of this if we'll work at completing it. So let's show up and work at it until we get her done. And then the R of leaders is we need to rise to the occasion, rise to the need. Philippians 4:13-19, two of my very favorite verses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glories in Christ Jesus. Good reminder that it isn't about me. So when I'm rising to the occasion, I'm not rising in my strength and my abilities. I'm rising to the call of Christ in my life to lead others the way that he wants me to lead them. I'm rising dependent upon his Holy Spirit, trusting in his abilities, his supply, to give me what I need to be able to lead others. So I can look them in the face and say, follow me, as I am following Jesus. As a leader, we're going to face criticism and complaints and challenges and undeserved compliments. I wanted to let that sink for a minute because that's kind of incongruous with what I just got through saying. Yes, we're going to face criticism, complaints, and challenges. But how does undeserved compliments figure into that? Well, all of those things can knock us off our stride. And if when this happens, you must be resilient enough to rise again and again and again. Great leaders like Washington and Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr., Christ's disciples, faced challenges and difficulties. What determined their greatness was their ability to rise to each challenge and overcome every difficulty. They never gave up. If you're going to be a great leader, you can't either. There's an anonymous Latin proverb that I love. It says, if there's no wind, row. Pretty good, huh? If there's no wind, row. So don't just sit there. Find a way. Never quit. Never give up. And never give in. That's where Jesus wants us to be. So having said all of that, I want to take a minute and do something a little unusual. If you happen to be listening and you have a pen or a pencil with you, this is a little exercise I'd like for you to be able to do. If you don't have one of them with you, then hopefully you can just do it when you can. You know, oftentimes we hear things like this, and what does Jesus want us to do with it? Well, I think the beginning of what he wants us to do with it is to open our hearts to him so that we can take a hard look and say, how am I doing on this? What areas am I falling short? And if there's areas that I'm falling short in this, what he's calling me to do, then I need to be spending time with him on my knees saying, Lord, will you change this in me? Will you make me a great leader? Will you make me better at loving at all times? Or will you make me better at enduring? And let that be a daily prayer, a daily focus. Pull some scriptures up that will help focus you on that. And repeat those, memorize them, hide them in your heart so that you will be following Jesus the way he wants you to. So I'd like for us just to sit down and write each of those letters of leader down on a piece of paper. And take a minute and rate ourselves from 1 to 10, 1 being poor and 10 being great. And so, you ready for that? Just write down L-E-A-D-E-R. Pretty good. I spelled it correctly. And then beside each one of that, sit down and rate yourself. How am I doing on this? With the L, stands for loves at all time. Scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing on that? Maybe if you're a 2 or 3 on that, maybe that's the time that you need to be asking Jesus. Remember, 1 John 5:14-15 says this. This is the confidence. Anything we ask in God's will, he hears us. If he hears us, we have the thing that we've asked for. Wow. That means we'll have it the minute we ask. Then we just need to step out by faith and act on it. So let that be a daily prayer. Lord, cause me to be loving at all times. How about the E, encouraging and edifying other people? Is that a constant thing coming out of your lips? Are you quick to encourage, quick to build up? Hopefully you are. Then it takes us to the A, assist those in need. You know, probably the thing that we think most about in life is ourselves. And that's why it's the highest mountain we climb in life. But God says, you know, great leaders are all about helping other people be successful, helping other people find how to tap into the Holy Spirit, how to be able to rely upon God's strength, how to be the person that God has called them to be. And for many people, that means even discovering who they are to begin with. And don't forget the teamwork training techniques in the process of that. And then the D is denies himself and serves others. We're doing okay on that? I hope we are. That's where Jesus wants us to be. And the E is endures. Hard to do in our culture today. We're under attack everywhere you turn. The enemy is bringing temptations. He's bringing an ad hominem, personal attack. You're afraid to be able to speak the truth. I mean, everywhere you turn. But the only reason that our world is in such a mess is because we've voided the leadership responsibility that God has given us. And you know, nature abhors a vacuum. If we're not leading, somebody else is going to step into that role. And more times than not, it's going to be the enemy or his representative leading people in the wrong direction. We're gatekeepers. God has called us to protect our families, people in our vocations, wherever our gates may be. And we need to be stepping into this leadership role. And that means we need to rise up. Doesn't matter how many times that we get. And that's the last one. Rise to the occasion. Remember, it's not about your, not by might, not by power, but by your, my spirit, saith the Lord. So trust him on that. If you're not where you should be, ask Jesus to help you to be there. May we always be able to say to others what Paul said in Philippians 4:9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. That's a true leader. Hope that's working for all of you. Okay, let's take a little deeper dive into some specific qualities and characteristics that leaders have, other than what I just got through giving you. You know, great leaders are people that do certain things on a regular basis. There's been so many studies about what makes a leader a leader, a great leader, a great leader. And we're going to take a dive in one of that. But first, before I do that, I've got some questions for you. You ready for this? What are the qualities and characteristics and habits that great leaders display on and off the fields of battle? Give me a moment to think about that. Got them? Good. Next question. Think of two leaders that you would follow. They can be old dead guys, you know, or they can be somebody that you know, maybe your mother, father, a coach, somebody you work for, whatever it is. Who are two leaders you would follow? What is it about them that makes you want to follow them? That's a really interesting question, isn't it? And then last question on this. Do you have and display any of the qualities that they have? Any of the characteristics or habits that they have? More times than not, if we've been following them for quite a while, we're going to be picking them up because they've been modeled for us. We've been trained in them, even though we didn't even realize it. And then one last on all of this. It's an interesting question. Are leaders discovered or are they developed? Okay, how many of you said discovered? Raise your hand. Go ahead. And how many of you said developed? Well, in actuality, I think they're both. You see, they're discovered in time of need. They fill the vacuum that's there. You didn't know that they were a leader until all of a sudden nobody was leading and they showed up. You know, one of my favorite people in sports is a guy by the name of Kurt Warner. He was a starting quarterback for the Rams when they went to the Super Bowl. MVP, just amazing guy. All pro, you know, just amazing. He's in the Hall of Fame. Loves the Lord. And Kurt started while he was his professional career, in essence, by stocking shelves in a grocery store. And he went from that to being the most successful, one of the most successful quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Well, he didn't get developed into that. He was discovered. It's a fun story if you've ever wanted to be able to see it. I think it's there's a movie out on him, something like the America's Great Underdog or something like that. But he was discovered. How about Abraham Lincoln? You know, there was some development into things going on there, but he lost every election, one after another, after another, after another. And even when he was elected, people never thought of him as a great leader. But boy, did he step into the role at one of our greatest times of need in our country. So you can look around you and see people that will step into those roles. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're waiting to be discovered. Well, quit waiting. And start asking Jesus to be able to put you into areas. Maybe baby steps at first, or maybe he might throw you into the pool and say, I'm going to teach you how to swim. And for those of you that are working at developing leadership skills along the way, I say, praise the Lord. And in fact, all of us that are listening to this today are really at least beginning in that end of things if we haven't before, learning to be able to be developed. And ultimately, more times than not, those who are developed have a greater ease in their leadership abilities because they've been planning for it. They've been working on it. They've been focused on it to be able to be developed so it becomes second nature for them. So my encouragement to all of us gatekeepers out there is even after we end this podcast, start asking Jesus to develop you in your leadership skills. That's why I ask you to be able to sit down and rate yourself for each of those areas so you can look at ways to be able to grow and be more proficient along that line. And so having said that, I want to give you another tool that's really critically important if you're going to be a great leader. This can help you start growing in that area. But before I give it to you, I want to ask you a question again, a couple of questions again. What do you want to accomplish in life? Who do you want to be this next year as an individual or as a leader? You know, there's an old saying, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Therefore, we need to plan and set goals so we can increase the probability of reaching our desired accomplishments. So what do you want to accomplish? Who do you want to be in life? What kind of leader do you want to be? And it's really a good place to start on this is by asking Jesus what his plans are for us. You know, so frequently we're quick to say, Lord, bless my plans. The best thing we can do is say, Lord, where is your plan of blessing for me? You created me for a purpose and I matter to the mission. So show me, Lord, what that looks like. Remember Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work will lead to prosperity. That's where we want to be. So the question, next question is, what's it going to take for you to get there? Yeah, it's got to take something. Proverbs 20 verse 5 says, a plan in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding is able to draw it out. Draw out what God is telling you and what he's wanting you to know. And then the last thing on this end of it is, have you yet set the necessary goals that you need to set to achieve success in life? To be that great gatekeeper, to be that great leader, to be successful and helping your family come and know Jesus, be successful in your relationships, and using the skills and abilities and talents that God has given you to make a difference in the world. If you set those goals, what are they? If you can't roll those off the tip of your tongue in a hurry, you're not where you need to be yet. And we're going to talk about how to do that. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. I want us to do something. Now I'm going to take you through something that one of my favorite things for leaders through the years, four steps that you can take that will almost guarantee you being successful if you'll follow them. Four steps that can change everything in your life, in your family's life, in your business life, and all the success, make you more successful in every one of your endeavors if you're willing to do this. You ready? Send me $50 and I'll send it. No, I'm just kidding. Sound like an infomercial, huh? No, we're not. Okay, here we go. Four steps to helping you be successful in life. One more quote that I want you to be able to hear. Ben Franklin, it wasn't that he came up with all these great wisdom. He wrote so many great quotes in Poor Richard's Almanac. He was a brilliant man, but he was really good at picking up other people's wisdoms and other people's quotes and putting them in his books. And he said this, failing to plan is planning to fail. And I think he was right on the money with that. So the first action step that we need to make to being successful is we need to design a plan. We need to develop it into daily steps, which you can place on your calendar. And then we need to daily follow that plan. A lot of us go, I don't have a calendar. I don't use a calendar. Guess what? It's time you start. You know, when we try to hold everything into our heads that we need to get accomplished, it's like a computer that has a whole bunch of programs open at the same time. How successful does your computer run on that? It has a tendency to start slowing down. It becomes inefficient until you think you got to get rid of the computer and throw it away. But in reality, that's not the problem. You've got things going on in that computer that should be closed down. And it's the same way with our human minds. You know, when we're trying to hold on and remember everything that we need to get done, it just wearies us and wears us down. It takes our joy away. But if we would design a plan and develop that plan into daily steps and then place it on your calendar, every time that thought comes to your mind, I've got it on my calendar. No problem. I'll take care of it when it's time on my calendar to take care of it. And then if for some reason I don't get it accomplished that time period, don't freak out. Just move it to another day and be reasonable on whether the time's available to do that. And then daily follow your plan. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Ask him to help you create that plan and then work that plan with the Lord's help. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of a man plans, but the Lord directs his steps. So keep Jesus involved in this. And your plan needs to be based upon the next three steps that we're going to be taking. So don't just sit down and write a plan out and forget about these. Go through this whole thing with me. and then start thinking back and go, okay, Lord, what is it that you've called me to do? Incidentally, I have included in this, these four action steps to being successful, many quotes from every walk of life to show the truth Jesus gives us in his word is often universally accepted, even by those who don't universally accept him. In other words, guys, all the good stuff comes from Jesus. Man can try to be as brilliant as he wants to be, but the bottom line, it all comes from him. Truth comes from him. Wisdom comes from him. Greatness comes from him. And he's the one that's created each of us with a design and a purpose in life. And you matter to the mission that he's created you for, the gatekeeper mission. So let's be planning to be successful at this. A great Oriental leader once said, if there is no dull and determined efforts, there will be no brilliant achievement. George Nordenholt once said, no matter how big and tough the problem may be, get rid of the confusion by taking one little step towards a solution. Great idea. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? Og Mandino, who is an author that, I think he's sold over 15 million copies of his book, said, small attempts repeated will complete any undertaking. And Socrates, who we all know, said, better to do a little well than a great deal badly. And this is one of my favorites. This is by Samuel Johnson. He was an English writer back in the late 1700s, and he said, he who wants to do a great deal of good at once will never do anything. Well, let that one soak in for a minute. That is one of the great tools of the enemy. We make a mistake, and we're so, anxious to be able to correct that mistake. We get in and try to do all these things at one time, try to be able to convince you I'm still okay, instead of just simply putting our mind to it, do the things, little here, little there to accomplish it. So it sets us up for failure again. He who wants to do a great deal of good at once will never do anything. Life is made up of little things. It is rarely that an occasion is afforded for doing a great deal at once. True greatness is being great at the little things. That's where we need to be. Remember, we're putting our plan on a calendar in bite-sized pieces so that we can work on it every day. So here's the second step. You ready for it? First step, design a plan, develop it into daily steps, put it on your calendar, and then daily follow it. Second step, set goals that reflect the desires of your heart and God's heart for you. Yeah, set goals that reflect the desires of your heart and God's heart for you. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I think that means that he gives you what you should be desiring because it's part of the plan that he has for you. He reveals that to you. And then he also manifests that in and through you as you rely upon him. When you're doing what you love, you're going to love what you do. Did you catch that? When you're doing what you love, you're going to love what you do. So many of us are stuck in places doing things that we hate. I think it's time to be able to spend some time with Jesus and say, Lord, what have you created me to do? And Lord, would you do two things for me? Would you either change my address and put me into some other place? Or would you change my attitude and help me embrace the fact that this is part of the plan that you have for me? And help me to plan on how to be more successful at what I'm doing here. Our goals should be measurable, and they should be able to be put in writing. Measurable and put in writing. Being strategic keeps you on track. It hinders the enemy from waylaying you. Having plans in writing also allow you to refer to them in times and moments of weakness or discouragement. So we need to be able to put them down, and they need to be on our calendar. We need to be looking at them and praying over them. What are God's goals for us? Let me tell you this. This is really important. What are God's goals for us? Primarily, preeminently, they're centered around good relationships. What? You mean not to make more money? What? Not to receive more accolade? What? No, it's good relationships. First and foremost, the two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, we see in Matthew 22, 26 through 40. Healthy relationships with God and others determine our contentedness. When we achieve our goal by leaving a path of littered with destroyed relationships, that is not success. We will ultimately not be contented with that. Unhealthy relationships cause deep deficits that we try to fill with a variety of ways that result in more emptiness. Good and healthy relationships make us feel whole. Relationships are worth the investment. Do you hear me on that? Great leaders. That's what we're supposed to be, right? We need to be able to make sure the people we're leading are healthy, that our relationships with them are healthy. They're so satisfying. And that starts with Jesus. And out of the abundance of that, then he gives us the ability to be more successful, leading us to have healthy relationship with others. And then as we're doing the things that God has called us to do as leaders, whether that be in my employment or whatever, I'm going to be more successful, more contented. And I'm going to look back on that and go, thank you, Jesus. And you're going to have all these people standing around you as a great cloud of witnesses going, well done, good and faithful servant. And Jesus will be at the head of that line. So if you do what you love, you'll love what you do. Goals should be measurable and in writing and reviewed daily. Michael Friedsam said, concentrate on finding your goal, then concentrate on reaching it. I like that. Hannah Moore said, obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off of the goal. Let me paraphrase that. When you take your eyes off of Jesus. That's for sure. So when you feel a little frightful, a little discouraged, or whatever it is, know that the beginning of that, or the foundation of that, is most probably that you're putting your eyes on the wrong thing. Remember, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Be thinking about accomplishing this. Be thinking about being successful at this with God's help. And it changes everything along that line. Number three, as we go through this, be willing to sacrifice to reach your goals. What? Yeah. Be willing to sacrifice to reach your goals. Because you'll never accomplish anything if you're not willing to sacrifice something to be able to reach your goals. The value of something, let me go back to this. Let me give you what Jesus says about this to begin with. Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's costly, huh? I need to be willing to give up something. My rights, my plans, my arrogance, my popularity, my pleasure. I need to be willing to do it. What are you willing to pay to be a great leader, to be successful in the things that God has designed you to be, to accomplish the plans that he has for you and the purpose he's created you for? What are you willing to pay for that? In essence, Jesus was telling us that we need to give it all up. Remember the story of the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, keep commandments. And he said, which ones? And gave them the commandments. And the rich young ruler said, I think I'm doing this. And the Lord said, wow, you are close to entering the kingdom of heaven. He said, there's one more if you wish to be complete. If you wish to be complete, if you really want to get it, if you really want to be in the sweet spot, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. Did Jesus tell that man that because he was against people being rich? Not at all. But he knew that one thing was the thing that he valued more than the plan and the purpose that Jesus had for him. The true satisfaction where he was going to be feeling satisfied and contented in life and accomplish significant and great things. What is it that Jesus may be wanting you to be giving up? So it's time for us to be able to look and say, Lord, what's hindering me? Do I need to be, is it going to cost me more time? It's going to cost me my talents. It's going to cost me more efforts. Whatever it is, be willing to be open with Jesus and to say, Lord, show me the things that hinder me. So many of us are running through life carrying, 100-pound bags of cement in our backpack and complaining because we're so tired. And Jesus is saying, take the backpack off. And we're going, but Lord, that's all my stuff in there. Stuff is important. And Jesus is saying, stuff's not important. People are important. The plans and the purpose that I have for you, you matter to the mission. That's what's important. Let me take the backpack from you and see how free that you are to do what I've asked you to do. Free you are from that burden and that weariness. Napoleon Hill, he's a man in, I think in 1937, wrote one of the most best-selling books, still is on the bestsellers list, called Think and Grow Rich. And he wrote this, Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice. It's never the result of selfishness. Ha! Lou Holtz, one of my favorites, loves Jesus, great football coach. You aren't going to find anybody that's going to be successful without making a sacrifice and without perseverance. Very true. And Pele, probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest soccer player of all times, said, success is no accident. It's hard work. It's perseverance. It's learning, studying, sacrifice, and most of all, loving what you're doing or learning to do. I say an amen on that one. And this is one of those anonymous quotes again that I really love running across. You'll never discover new oceans until you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. Turn your back on the things that hinder you. Be willing to sacrifice to reach your goals. Do I hear an amen on that? So let's review. Design a plan. Develop it into daily steps, which you can place in your calendar. Then daily follow your plan. Incidentally, that calendar and that plan make a great servant. Don't let it be a lousy master. It becomes a master when I get all stressed out and everything else because it's on my calendar. I haven't got it done and I'm running into this problem. Hey, it's there to serve you. So if you need to adjust your calendar, do it. We're in this for the long run. And you know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You got that? So design a plan, develop it into daily steps, which you can place in your calendar and daily follow your plan. Number two, set goals that reflect the desires of your heart and God's heart for you. It's going to be mostly centered around relationships. And then number three, be willing to sacrifice to reach your goals. And that brings us to the last point. Associate with those who have been or who are going where you want to be. Associate with those who have been or who are going where you want to be. And that can include historical figures whose ways and wisdom you read about and study. See it in the Word of God on a regular basis. That's a great place to start. Ecclesiastes 4:9 tells us that two are better than one. There's a greater return for their labor. So we need to be finding people that can mentor us or that we can associate with that will help us. And so we don't have to reinvent the wheel along the way. Learn, glean from those who have been where you're going to go or who are going where you want to go. Abraham Lincoln said this, I will study and get ready, and someday my chance will come. I love that. That's a great guy to hang out with when he says things along that line. So seek out mentors. They can add experience and wisdom and encouragement and insight to your journey. Choose wisely because their potential influence over your life can bring greatness or utter failure. 1 Corinthians 15:33 reminds us, bad company corrupts good morals. So find good people. And you know what? That may take a while. You may have to be praying on a regular basis, Lord, send me somebody that has the heart that I have, somebody that wants to change the world that I wanted to change, how I want to change it, and wants to make a significant contribution. Lord, send me somebody. I went through that. I remember when I first sold out to the Lord, and I just went, Lord, I just want somebody that has my passion and my heart. Would you send them my way? And the Lord looked at me, well, figuratively speaking, and said, I'm the one you're looking for. I went, whoa, but Lord, it's a little harder for me to hear from you sometimes. But Lord, you know, I don't see you there quite that way. And again, he just said, I'm the one you're looking for. And so it starts with Jesus. Don't leave him out of the equation. He's the source of everything you need in life. He's the one that has the ultimate plan and purpose that he's created you for. And what he's created for is significance. You know, it's for greatness because you matter to the mission that he's created for you. This epic story, this epic adventure that he's created for each of us to be participating in. So make sure that you're seeking him first every day as you're doing all of these. Let me review this one more time. So if you forgot it, you'll have be able to do it. Design a plan, develop it into daily steps, which you can place on your calendar and follow your plan. Number two. Set goals that reflect the desires of your heart and God's heart for you, and those are always centered around relationships. Number three, be willing to sacrifice to reach your goals. And the value of something is determined by its cost, incidentally. And then number four, associate with those who have been or who are going where you want to be. You got it? You follow those four steps on a regular basis with the Lord's help, and you will find it to be a mind-blowing experience. and how God raises you up to be so successful, more than you, exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ask or think. And then remember this, failure is only failure when you stop there. Otherwise, it's just another step towards success. So if you find yourself a little discouraged and failing along the way, put your focus back on Jesus and go back through and redesign. And go back and make sure the goals are reflecting the right desires of your heart and God's heart for you. And look and see again about what's hindering you, you know, what you need to sacrifice to be able to reach those goals. And then look again for people that can help you get there, especially with Jesus. Hope this helps you in your pursuit of being a great leader, because we definitely need you for the cause of Christ. God bless you. So if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss another episode of Monty Sharp and the Gatekeepers Initiative. Don't forget, each of us has our gates of influence in our lives that can radically change the world around us. Thanks again for joining us today. I'm looking forward to being with you again next time. May the Lord richly and wonderfully bless you.